Science, theology, medicine continued.
So, as we were saying, no outsiders, that's page 138, line 11. Everyone an insider. That is to say, the concept of men outside of God giving way to man, the Son of Man, who is the Son of God inside. And that's why the capitalized term on line 13 in that paragraph is spirit, because to spirit there is no outside. And this shows that what we are fundamentally concerned with is the religion of love. Lines 15 to 16. All things in science bonded together, cemented, concrete, rock-like in love. This is church, or body in Christianity, founded on the rock of Christ, or truth. And so, in the paragraph beginning line 17, we are naturally commanded to be Christ-like, to possess the Christ spirit, to follow the Christ example, and so on, all in proof of Christianity itself. Taking our world, as it were, with us into the inside of spirit, so that there are no outsiders, we are truly going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, healing the sick, loving our neighbor, generic man, as our real spiritual self. And that this spirit is mind, 139.5, wherein matter is non-existent, lies behind the different miracles in the Bible, and is really what the scriptures in their science are all about. And if sectarian church councils, line 15, seem to obscure this science, this is only temporary, the divine science of the scriptures, that is to say, their continuous, unitary, unbroken science, seen from Genesis to Revelation, reveals itself to thought such as that of Simon Peter. For this science is the Petros, is the stone, which the builders of sectarianism reject, line 26, but which nevertheless becomes the head of the corner. And so if we come over to page 114, to the marginal heading, God invisible to the senses. The fact is that we see him, we know him only from within him. From a position supposedly outside, we see corporeal being only. That is to say, we see being as fallen mortal man. We know God spiritually as mind, line 8, knowing itself to be life, truth, and love, Father, Son, Mother, all one being. And worshipping spiritually in this way, line 16, instead of materially, we, man, are the very soul, little s, on line 17, of Christianity, the Christ body itself, worshipping the Father in spirit and in truth, little s, little t. Now, in this case, coming down to line 23, there is no man-projected God, as in Jewish tribalism, but rather is there God-projected man. See, spirit little s and truth little t can only possibly be spirit capital S and truth capital T projected or expressed. And thus the Christian Science God is universal, eternal, changeless love, lines 25 and 26, for a love-projected man certainly does not procreate, line 30, a man-projected God in the form of mortal man. And therefore, coming to 141 in the marginal heading, so much more than profession is required. The Christian sets aside even the most cherished beliefs and practices and leaves all for Christ. And this includes leaving beliefs of scholarly and ecclesiastical descent, line 11. In which case the divine principle and the Christ spirit, little s, alone govern the corporeality. No dynasty, no ecclesiastical monopoly for this principle, no handing on of the torch of authority from one person to the next, and then to the next, and then to the next, and so on. All men are kings and priests unto principle in their own God-given right. Spontaneously, out from the principle, not handed on from person to person. This is the way in which Christ rules. Lines 21, 22. No outsiders, only insiders. And then over to 142, 4 to 5. Those who truly follow Christ's truth in this way are those who understand and live this principle. The body of such followers, or if one could use such a word, the body of such understanders, because truly to follow is to understand. They constitute Christianity and have power over the whole of sickness, sin, and death. So that the first proof of our Christianity, therefore, is that we seek to be the undivided garment of Christ truth instead of a lot of personal fragments. This alone furnishes us, as it says on line 10, with absolute evidence. Why? Because this alone heals sin. And in this case, the marginal heading, line 13, instead of selfishness and loss, we gain. The self which we really are. And this, on line 20, cleanses the temple. It whips tyranny and pride out of the body and welcomes in humility and divine science instead. Divine science is, of course, the garment of truth as one whole, undivided garment, having as such total power over sin, sickness, and death. Purged of vanity and worldly worship, body becomes the meet dwelling place of the Most High. Humanly speaking, this means to say that the body is wholly medicined. Body in divine science is the Most High's own body, the body which is us, man, in Christianity, having one mind. And therefore it is that our being of one mind constitutes true medicine, as we find it now in the chapter's third and last section. All right, then the accent shifts to medicine. And the section teems with references to mind, capital M, as constituting the only true medicine. Mind, the one mind God, in contrast to the many minds of mortal man, maintains the wholeness of its own body, man. And this, of course, is medicine. The body or letter of science, in the first section, the science of mind healing, as we found it to be, alive with the spirit, the religion of love in the second section, equips us with the true idea of medicine in the third section, in contrast to materia medica. And so we don't really have science at all, unless at the same time this is true theology and therefore true medicine. We remember on page 107 in the chapter's second paragraph, the sovereign ever-presence, the principle which is absolute and divine, and therefore is the Most High itself, which in consequence delivers the children of men from every ill that flesh is heir to. Clearly, this conveys the true idea of medicine. So we, man, the body of Christ truth in Christianity, are heir not to the ills of the flesh, but inherit all things from divine mind. That is to say, 142:27, from that which is first, and that which is self-existent. Notice the number of times the word first occurs on these two opening pages of the medicine section. Now the synonyms in the first paragraph are mind, truth, Christ. Matter is not medicine. Mind all in all, line 28, this is medicine. Matter departs, line 30 there, from mind, and therefore matter as medicine is error, because it is a departure from Christ truth. And therefore, on 143.10, mind never called matter medicine. Material belief alone does this, and this deprives us of the available superiority of mind. Body is not controlled scientifically by mind little m, but only by mind capital M, which is mind controlling its own body as the only body there really is. Hence, in the bottom paragraph, mind is the grand creator. All power derives from mind. All glory, honor, dominion, and power are due everlastingly to mind. Why? Because chronologically, potentially, and eternally, mind is first. And therefore, it is that mind and drugs do not coalesce. Mindless drugs are the antithesis of mind. In fact, as we come over the page to 144, line 6, naught is the inferior method of drugging when mind is nigh. Withdraws this lower power of drugs when dawns mind's brave light. And this then becomes the difference in the marginal heading, line 144.10, between soul and sense. In the ratio that soul in our consciousness is strong, sense evidence is weak, and vice versa. So let us come to line 14, where we see in this superior power and strength of soul the science which handles that most fundamental of all mortal beliefs, human willpower or animal magnetism. Whether it is the seeming power of the inanimate drug, or that of animate human will, which is mesmerism, hypnotism, and so on. The power of the science of mind operating as the metaphysical practice of Christian science, line 14, makes nothing of them both. This, on line 28, is the power of universal truth at work, wherein there is no rebellious human willpower to have caused man apparently to depart from God and therefore to become error instead of truth. Divine science versus physical science on line 23 is truth at war with its opposite, error. But because man cannot depart from truth and be turned into error instead of truth, therefore divine science and not physical science is reality. Science, line 14, as Christian science, line 17, as divine science, line 23, are the means whereby the science of being is understood. Line 27, and truth itself, wherein everything is whole, appears then as the universal panacea. And all this is the science of Christian healing. Line 31, in which, now up to the top of 145, 4, both letter and spirit are at work, but where the spirit is what basically accomplishes the healing. On to line 8, as far as the recovery of invalids is concerned, there seems to be a struggle going on between mortal minds in the plural, and on the one hand, and immortal minds, singular, on the other. Now, an invalid is something which is invalid, that is to say, not valid. And that which is valid, says the dictionary, is that which is founded in truth and is impossible to break down because it conforms to law. The only invalid, therefore, is error and not man. And victory comes when mind, acting through Christ truth, subdues the belief in disease, because man in truth is valid and not invalid. Now, this is truth itself, line 17, controlling error specifically as ignorance of the laws of eternal and unerring mind. Line 24. Wiping out, that is to say, everything that is not of the nature of truth, everything which is invalid. And then the governing term becomes spirit again on line 28. Spirit and flesh seem to war only because in spirit everything is in agreement with everything else, and therefore everything is strong. Whereas in the flesh there is continuous antagonisms, one form of matter opposing other forms of matter, and therefore everything is weak. And because of this superiority of the one and inferiority of the other, spirit asserts its mastery over the flesh. And over to 146.3, because this supremacy of spirit over flesh shows us what healing is in scientific Christianity. But supposing that Christianity is identified with antagonistic systems of religion purporting to heal sin and systems of medicine purporting to heal sickness, then the element of Christian healing seems to be lost. Such systems are barren of the vitality of spiritual power. Whereas the system of healing in Christianity itself is full of spiritual power. The reason being that Christianity, as it really is both science, line 11, and Christ-like religion, line 12. That is to say, Christian science. So, material medicine and drugs on the one hand, and the might and power of mind, it's line 14, on the other. And then there is scholasticism, seeking salvation through person instead of through principle. Whereas it is science itself and not person, that is principle's own curative agent, as we have it on line 17, and therefore it saves impersonally. And so, although science, this agent, seems like a stranger within our gates, it is, in fact, truth, little t, line 18, it is us, man of divine origin, the truth, that spirit, line 19, is supreme. What we really are as man certainly should not seem strange or a stranger to us. And we come to line 23, where we see that the Bible sanctions this divine science. This curative agent of principle, which is of divine origin, which appears as Christian science, and which is truth. Line 25, healing simultaneously sickness and sin, and therefore is the true system of medicine and the true system of religion in one system. And this is why it is a thing of life, line 29, as against material systems that belong to space and time, and therefore to death. And so it is that Christian science, marginal heading, line 25, is as old as God, as ancient as the Ancient of Days. And this brings us to the statement in the medicine section of the chapter, which surely equals in importance that of the rock in the theology section and that of the two translations in the science section. The heading is reduction to system. This reduction to system is really that very rock itself. And the scientific explanation of that rock comes to us when we grasp the meaning of the operation of those two translations. Reduction to system, and we read, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. And yet, the system itself, as we've just learned, is timeless. This true healing system, a statement of which is made, therefore, in the medicine section of the chapter, enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. How pronounced this idea of rule and rules is in certain passages in this chapter. It seems to accompany the idea of divine metaphysics, the rule of not working from matter upwards, as we had it back there on page 111, where divine metaphysics was introduced for the first time, and the rule at that point was that of reversing, divine metaphysics reversing inverted and perverted sense testimony. And so, now 147:6, that which is as old as God is not subsequent, of course, to the time of Jesus, demonstrated again historically until late in the 19th century, when it appears as the divine rules of Christian Science. On line 10, science, that is to say, principle's own curative agent, shows that truth's healing efficacy never changes with time. As the science of mind healing, line 14, this divine system is stated in its completeness in science and health, and therefore there is the need to study this book. Not a simple perusal, but its study in depth. Then the paragraph beginning line 24. Jesus taught only the generalities of the principle. He worked out the problem of being from beginning to end. Therefore, what he himself understood was the wholeness of the principle, because otherwise it would not be possible to work out the whole problem of being. But as far as humanity is concerned, he taught the generalities of the principle and the definite rule whereby everyone can understand and demonstrate this principle has been discovered in Christian Science. Christian Science, then, is the very embodiment itself of this definite rule. So, reduction to system. How does the system heal? The word reduction, like deduction, induction, eduction, that is to say, education, are all from the Latin root ducere, to lead. Reduction signifies to lead back to an original state, to lead back from error. It has a most interesting surgical meaning, which is to correct by restoring dislocated parts. This system of Christian Science, understood in terms of the inseparability of the capitalized and uncapitalized conceptions of being, is the revelation of man never having fallen, never having become dislocated from God. It's the revelation of everything in the universe in place, nothing out of place, nothing out of relationship with everything else, nothing to be recovered, therefore, nothing needing restoring, no dislocation, but truth forever whole and harmonious. Science in its health or wholeness, as taught in the Christian Science textbook. And this, of course, is the system of education, educare, taught in the one school of Christian Science, which we learnt about back there on page 112. And it consists of the two complementary activities of deducere, that is, coming from God, from the general to the particular, followed by inducere, from the particular back to the general, even as is taught by those fundamental propositions there on page 113, the two translations on 115 to 116, and also by that syllogism, we remember, at the bottom of 128. And this makes it a healing system, because it is the body, man, of mind, God, in which every detail is operating in its right place under the control of the system as a whole, that is, under the control of the system's own governing principle. Now over to 148 and line 2. No faithless generation, therefore. No breakaway from the one mind. Mind's power to heal, line 4, lies in the fact that nothing in the body has ever broken faith with its own all-generating mind. This means, line 8, that man is generated, created by spirit alone as God's man. And as such, he's quite unlike the breakaway men of men, or children of men, described by anatomy and theology, as we come to it now in the paragraph beginning line 7. Theology, of course, not as we've been having it in the second section of the paragraph, but in the ordinary religious sense of the word. Now, anatomy, of course, implies dissection into separate parts, the material sense of analysis. And theology, as we see from 148 down there, lines 21 to 24, implies the attempt to turn a fragmented sense of man into a whole Christian. How, from the basis of division and discord, to produce the concord and unity of spirit and his likeness. That's a material sense of synthesis. So anatomy, analysis, theology, synthesis, both in the material sense of those terms. But in the system of divine metaphysics, which is Christian Science, the wholeness of everything, that is to say, its constitution and its operation, are understood through symbols. And therefore, there is no such thing as actual dissection and putting things together again. Analysis, synthesis, deduction, induction can only really be conceived of spiritually, or are conceived of spiritually in Christian Science. And thus on line 17 to 18, anatomy and theology reject the divine principle of harmonious man. Man, infinitely individual, infinitely particular, at the same time as being infinitely universal, infinitely generic, infinitely one. No break up into bits and pieces requiring the restoration of dislocated parts, everything located in principle. No ecological imbalance, which is talked of so much today. Nothing out of context. And this nothing out of context, of course, is represented by the very way in which we are at present approaching the text of Science and Health, and therefore are approaching understandingly the coherency and the oneness of our universe. Now the topic on 148.25 changes to physiology, in anticipation, it seems, of the coming seventh chapter. The synonyms at work there are mind, spirit, truth. And over to 149.3, where we see that mind, this mind which is spirit, and not matter, and therefore is truth. This mind outweighs drugs, equally in the cure of disease as of sin. And the way, therefore, instead of that of drugs, is, we read, divine science in every case. Divine science, not materia medica, which is a bundle of speculative theories. And so, in divine science, the outlook is general, generic, all-inclusive, one. Spiritual deduction is at work, starting out from the principle, from the infinite one. This is divine science in every case, every conceivable case. And now to the specific. Because patients' different mental states are not comprehended medically as the practice of the prescriptions shows. They're explained only in Christian Science, line 11. And there, of course, we come from the general to the particular, to Christian Science as the specifically diversified embodiment of divine science. And therefore we touch on line 11 the rule and its perfection of operation which never vary in science. Science itself being both divine and Christian, so that the general leads to the particular, and then the particular is found intact within the total embrace of the general. This is all describing the divine system to which divine metaphysics is reduced. But now, the practical rule itself. Because in order to demonstrate this on line 14, what we have to do is to find that our own specific individual life little L is none other than the life still little L of the one generic Christ or truth itself. The individual, a microcosm of the universal wherein the life of the universe is his individual life. Our life, then, is not our life in a personally possessive sense, but is Christ truth's life, possessed impersonally, line 15, by the principle of divine science. And in this case, the rule of divine science is obeyed, and the principle of divine science is proved. This is the rule for healing each specific case in that sum total of every case. And thus on line 26, the one generic mind governs all things, the one governs all specifically. And as we turn over to 152, herein lies the power of truth. The power of truth lies in truth's generic and specific wholeness.